You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Hosanna! Happy Palm Sunday. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a festive and celebratory day in the church year. We imagine Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's sort of like a parade. In worship, we sing joyful songs like we already have. And sometimes in the sanctuary, the choir processes or the children process, waving palm branches, beautiful palm branches that they've made. And together we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Some of us can take our palm branches and fold them into crosses. I'm not very good at that. Some of us like to take those palm branches and tickle or poke the people around us. I might have done that once or twice in my life, but I'm not going to say any more about that. Palm Sunday, however, is not just a fun celebration. If we dig a little deeper into our faith, we realize that Jesus is going into Jerusalem riding on a lowly donkey, but he's being acclaimed as a king. And his presence is a threat to the king of the day, King Herod. Jesus, the king, was taking a stand for the kingdom of God, for justice, for righteousness, for peace, and for love. And that stood against the political and religious kingdom of his time. And we need to remember that this word Hosanna, while it's come to mean a word of praise and celebration, originally it meant save us now. So the people were crying out both praises and a desire to be saved, a desire to be rescued. So our Palm Sundays may be festive on the surface, but 2,000 years ago, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, it was a scary time, and it was dangerous for him. Here at Covenant, we've been reading the Gospel according to Matthew over the course of Lent, and there are two key moments in the Gospel, two transitional moments where Jesus enters into a new stage. Each key moment begins with the same wording. After his birth and baptism, he begins his ministry in chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, 17, we read, "From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Then we read how Jesus called his first disciples, two brothers, saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." So they followed him with courage and purpose, and they began to do what Jesus had been doing, proclaiming the good news, teaching and healing and feeding hungry people and calling out the hypocrisy of the leaders. And Jesus leads them into this new kingdom. As he does this, the tension mounts and opposition to Jesus grows. So when we get to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." From that time on. From that time on, Jesus continues proclaiming God's love for the world as he denounced hypocrisy and greed and corruption. Then just a few chapters after chapter 16, Jesus enters into Jerusalem with courage, with purpose, to do what he was called to do. Throughout his life, he proclaimed a new way, God's way, even though he knew it meant suffering and death on a cross. In this time of coronavirus, I am grateful for the courage and purpose that Jesus shows us. And I'm grateful for the courage and purpose that we see in the lives of people all around us in our world today. We see doctors and nurses and technicians and researchers and janitors and office staff and all those who support healthcare risking their well-being for the sake of others. And we see police officers and firefighters and EMTs risking their well-being for the sake of others. Now, if you're involved in healthcare or in public safety in some way, shape, and by chance you're watching this video, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing on behalf of the community. Thank you what you're doing to save lives. Millions and millions of people appreciate what you're doing, and many people are praying for you. We're also grateful for people who are working in the food service industry, making sure the rest of us have something to eat. So we're thankful for the farmers and the pickers, the processors and the truck drivers, the cooks and the staff, the stockers, the baggers, the clerks, the managers, everyone who's involved in the process. With two teenage boys in our house, I'm particularly grateful for those who are providing food. On Monday, I stopped at Metcalf's Market right near our house to pick up groceries for the week. And while I was there, I spoke briefly to a few staff members, including the store manager, keeping a safe distance from one another. And I thanked them for being there and for providing food for our family and for the community. And I asked them how they were feeling. Each of the people that I talked to, in one way or another, responded with a smile and with a sense of determination and purposefulness, saying they were glad to be there, glad to be doing their part, doing their job. My cashier was a young woman who had only been working there for a few months. From behind the newly installed plexiglass screen, she smiled and said she was glad to help out however she could, especially for the sake of older folks. It wasn't until I was walking to my car that I realized that maybe she was thinking about me as an older folk, but I guess that's not really important at this point. At Metcalf's and in all the supermarkets, I get the sense that people who are working there have a newfound sense of courage and purpose, and I'm grateful for that. I'm hopeful that as we continue this long journey through this time of virus, we can encourage and support one another to find courage and to find purpose. Most of us are not ER doctors or cashiers at a supermarket, but we can all find ways to be brave and helpful and loving and kind and generous and strong. I find myself thinking about the people who are working at the polls in Wisconsin on Tuesday. Wisconsin's one of the few states that's continuing with elections. I'm grateful for those people who are working and believe so strongly in our democratic system and have hope for our collective future. I find myself also thinking about a group of teenagers from Memorial High School who are organizing a blood drive with the American Red Cross to actually be held at Covenant Presbyterian Church in just a couple of weeks. Again, risking their well-being for the sake of others at a time when blood is in critical need. And I find myself thinking about wonderful acts of kindness and generosity that are all over the place these days. You get on the news, get on the internet, and you see all sorts of stories. I was particularly taken by the story of a man named Pete Darmos, a restaurant owner in Australia. He was forced to shut down his restaurant, and he was at home watching the TV and found himself getting increasingly saddened by seeing all the people who are struggling to feed their families. Apparently, he's saved up some money over the years, so he went to the bank and he withdrew $10,000 of Australian dollars and in $100 bills. Then he went to the local unemployment office where the line was very long. He started at the back and worked his way to the front, giving $100 to every person in the line. And I think about the example of people who are at home being kind and gracious with one another, even though they're cooped up facing loneliness and frustration and isolation, and we're all realizing that we might live like this for a while. It's a hard thing, it's a hard situation we're in, and I think we all have moments and days when we struggle. But with inspiration from examples all around us, and with God's help, we're doing our best to love one another, to be patient with one another, to learn new technology, to rediscover old games, to find ways to be kind and generous, to reach out to neighbors, to love one another, and to stay rooted and grounded in God's word and God's love. Today we wave our palm branches, or maybe we just wave our palms like Donna suggested, and we can prayerfully call out, Hosanna, save us. On that first Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem with courage and with purpose, proclaiming God's love for the world. Our calling is to live with courage and purpose and to follow Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray.
Thank you, God, for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for his courage and purpose in the face of danger. Renew us, we pray, with your hope and fill us with your love this day and always. Amen. Our worship continues now with a time of offering, with music to ponder and an opportunity to reflect on the offering of our lives. I invite you to think about how you can offer yourself this week, your time, your talent, your treasure, to love your neighbors and to serve God's kingdom.